We'll see.
7 o'clock.
Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
Motion to begin the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Rivera. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eckenberg. We start with the Pledge of Allegiance. So let's all stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'm going to turn the floor over to Commissioner Gravel now.
Thank you. Before we have a moment of silent prayer, I want to share something with you all. This is my son, Wally Gravel, private first class, 1991, his graduation picture from Paris Island. This is my son, Gunnery Sergeant Wally Gravel, 2004, his last tour of duty in Iraq. This was taken 3 days before he suffered a traumatic brain injury in a mortar attack. And what I'm going to show you next is his last profile picture that he put on Facebook 3 days before he shot himself.
Oh.
This is PTSD.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
This is the picture of it. This is what it looks like. It's a monster.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
Yeah. And it's lethal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you have your moment of silence, or we have our moment of silent prayer tonight, I know where Lee is. You don't need to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I'm at right now in the heart. And even though I appreciate your prayers, I want you to pray for all the men and women who are this. Thank you. So let's have a moment of silent prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me do that.
You're welcome. All right. First thing on the item after this is citizen participation. So, whoever would like would raise their hand if they have something they want to say or make comment. You're more than welcome to do it this time. Yes, Estelle.
There is a brown. Dark brown or maybe black and a light brown dog running up and down their street and in behind my fences. It does it 2 or 3 times a day. By the time we can get out there and see if it's got a tag on, it's gone. It spends a lot of time in her yard. I mean, not hers, in Sarah's yard. But that's the one he can get in and out of. But the dogs over there are having a fit. And I would still like to see some more of that bush well.
What kind of dog is it?
Looks like maybe a German Shepherd mix.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like.
Yeah.
I may be wrong because we haven't been close enough to already see it, but that's what it looks like from our bag.
Are you talking about the bushes at 4532 Pulaski?
Yes.
Okay. That's the corner of Ludenberg and Pulaski Court.
Mm-hmm. It does look better, but it still needs to get all the way off the sidewalk.
Yeah, I agree. They need to come completely down and out.
Yeah.
They weren't taken care of. Headed and taken care of. And they
were put too close to the sidewalk.
I know. Anyhow, is there anything else? Yes, ma'am. And what's your name?
My name is Audrey Beasley.
Audrey Beasley. Okay. I've lived in Worthington Hills over 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
I raised my children there. It's my forever home. I will probably die in this home. And I have one neighbor that's in a rental property.
I know what you're talking about.
I am so
we all do.
Lord Jesus. So that's what I feel. But I have things that I'd like to say, okay?
Go ahead.
Okay. My neighbor Anna and I have attended several meetings for the same concerns and problems. We have expressed our total dissatisfaction with the tenant at 12,002 Rustburg Court.
Mm-hmm.
The slum landlord has also purchased another piece of property at 4606 Lunenburg.
Oh my gosh.
Drive.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
The property at 12,002 has become a flop house. The original residents were a father and three children. Now there are at least three or four additional adults. It depends on the day. Mm-hmm. Is there an ordinance that limits the number of occupants in a rental property? Let me finish. Okay. There are at least three pit bulls and puppies. Several times they have, I'm going to let them talk about that because these are the two gentlemen back there, they have personal experiences with the pit bulls. But I work in my yard and I would not want to, and I'm a senior citizen, I would not want to be attacked out because the dog is out, be attacked in my yard. So that's very pertinent to me. We are being held hostage in the cul-de-sac of Rustburg Court. At one time, there are numerous vehicles parked around the cul-de-sac, which created an accessibility problem. The emergency crew could not get into our cul-de-sac because they were so disrespectful. In the rental's arrogance, he has developed a gravel parking lot in his front yard.
Wow.
One vehicle has been parked in the driveway for over 4 years. Vehicles that are parked there daily are a pickup truck, a SUV, a white car, a red car, and now I've learned there are two motorcycles, okay? There are overflowing garbage cans and garbage on the ground, which you know what that brings.
Mm-hmm.
We've done those things.
Uh-huh.
We've called the health department. We've called the animal control. You know, we as private citizens have done that. The owner's arrogance and privileged attitude is evident. His total disregard for the homeowners in our quiet cul-de-sac is in our neighborhood. The homeowner's blatant disrespect for our neighborhood. Our property values have and will be lowered because of our unneighborly crew. Until Worthington Hills can levy steep fines against the homeowners or expedite the eviction process, or how many infractions should a homeowner amass? How many is enough? Is this homeowner above the law? Legal recourse, lawsuits, suits, and civil or personal, those are the only ways I can see that we can get rid of these people. We cannot sit back passively because the conditions worsen. Is the renter above the ordinances and law? And that's all I have to say.
I'm going to give her a hand.
It's a great job.
You sound like Beverly and Sharon with their dog problem.
Okay, let me answer.
I can okay.
All right. First off, we have no code enforcement board in Worthington Hills.
We have no rental code.
We're working tonight. We have the final. Hopefully, when Steve gets here, we'll have the final read on the rental ordinance, which is a rental property registration ordinance. So we'll will have the information where they register their property on the website.
Mm-hmm.
All the properties in Worthington Hills are single family units, and on the registration form it requires them to fill in how many adults and how many children are living in that home. Mm-hmm. We are planning on taking action. What we have is a limited amount of action that we can take. If they have, I don't know what to tell you other than I'm aware of your problem. Mm-hmm. I drive there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the code enforcement has been all over that property. Then I'm talking about Louisville Metro's code enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get in the back. They can only do what's in front.
The dog, the dog.
They evidently got rid of another one. Well, if they're breeding animals,
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to have a permit for that with Jefferson County. So the more we can find out, the more we can tell code enforcement, then the better chance we've got of getting something taken care of. But right now, the only thing we've got is Jefferson County Code Enforcement Board.
Code enforcement's not doing their job either.
Yes.
They came out the other day. No, they're not. They came out the other day to look at the house next to me to check on just the fence. If there's gutters hanging off the house, and the guy just ignored that. Now, I'm thinking if I'm a code enforcement guy, I should be able to write to them for everything I saw.
Right,
and
right.
Just pick one, the one out and complain about.
Well, any resident in Worthington Hills can contact code enforcement and bring these matters.
How do we do that?
311.
311.
And ask for code enforcement?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And give them the address and the particulars on what you have concerns about.
Okay.
Also, you can go online. Now, right now, the Louisville Metro 311 portion of that, of Louisville Metro's website, I believe it's down, getting updated, but it's supposed to be back up tomorrow morning. So those are your options right now. Even if we was to give them a citation, we have no way of enforcing it because we don't have a code enforcement board.
Okay.
We have a code enforcement ordinance that provides us with the ability to have three code enforcement officials on it. They're the ones, they don't go out and write this stuff up. What they do is they report it. we get the particular individuals are given a citation, and then they have on the citation they have the right to appeal. And so we have to have the appeal process on the citation. We have to have a board that will hear any appeals. There has to be a date. Right now, at the last meeting, I brought up the fact that we have this room for the full day on the third Tuesday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually now have a date and time for a code enforcement board. So whoever would like to be on the code enforcement board is more than welcome to volunteer. Okay. But we can't be prejudiced to the people across the street.
Is there any elected official that we can contact?
Are we talking
about Worthington?
Residential building code enforcement? No, it's a code. It's
just ordinance. We have ordinances in the city.
You might contact
most of them right now.
Scott
are
Robinson.
Who is Scott Robinson?
He's our Metro Council.
Okay. And the property,
I think, is the other one.
The property maintenance commissioner is Don Eichenberger.
Okay.
I responded.
I know you did.
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have an ordinance about the number of people who live, who reside in
a there is
area?
That is a housing ordinance in Jefferson County, and they're all single family units.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's one of the things. This is one of the things that we're going to bring up on when we get these rental registrations back,
mm-hmm.
and the rental registrations. we'll be able to tell whether they're rentals or not because the tax bills are going out on tax bills. They have who the tax bill goes to. I'm already familiar with the other new location. I was looking at the house the other day. They got all kind of little trees and everything growing in the gutters.
Out of the gutter. But
right.
Yeah.
Right.
But there is a,
there is for years. An ordinance that says X number of people can
right.
occupy X number of square feet of
right.
Right.
property.
Right.
And, because we, over the condominiums, had to have them out because we have a two-bedroom condominium less than 900 square feet. And there are six adults and three children.
If there's a rental piece of property, aren't there certain names that are renters for that property? The father and the three children, those are the renters. The other ones are flophouse residents.
Right.
And they should not be there.
Right.
And that should null and void their rental agreement.
Right.
Right.
But the landlord is who is ultimately responsible.
Right.
Exactly.
And when the landlord, like in our case, we have a man who owns five properties. He lives in New Jersey.
Oh.
He couldn't care less what goes on.
He sure
but this man lives in Old County.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. He's right down the street.
Well, we're working on coming up with a system to alleviate the flop houses.
Is there going to be a fine or anything?
What's that?
A fine. Have to pay a fine if they don't adhere to.
If they don't register, we give them. We'll get to the ordinance in a little while, but the ordinance has a fine after they've been notified if they don't register on the.
No, I'm talking about you cite them.
No, the only thing that they could be cited for is not registering. Once we get them registered and we know how many people are supposed to be in the house and they've got more than that, then we're going to
take action. And that's going to be a great help to us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Can you get us information on this code enforcement board? Because even after doing all of this, down the line, it's not going to help us unless we formally have something.
That's
right. Right.
So I don't know what it entails to be on a board. Can you get us information on that? About, hey, what does it take to be on a board?
Volunteers.
Sure, but you got to get a better than that. You got to get a better than that.
You want to know what their duties
what the
are?
Duties
yeah,
are.
Sure. The job description.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Like the ethics.
Well, that's just, we have, the board is actually, the board's actually set up for three people. The three volunteers are basically on a rotating term. Basically, if they come in like we did originally when they set it up, the first person that got on the board or on the committee was 3 years, second one was 2 years, third one was 1 year. Then the next year, the next time, the one that was 1 year would rotate up to 3 years if they remained on the code enforcement board. The 3 year would move down to two and the 2 year would be down to one. So that's how the board operates. The board actually has to set up their own procedures, and I don't know how far they got with that because this was 3 years ago when they originally set it up. They never had a public hearing. Technically, when you have a committee like that, they're required to have their meetings in an open forum. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why now we have this room for the whole day, the second or third Tuesday of every month. Mm-hmm. And that was a benefit to continuing down here when I negotiated this with the hotel. So,
do you have any records of the previous?
I was one of them, and we never did anything.
You didn't have anything on paper? Nothing else?
Nothing ever came of it.
Yeah.
It was never.
So it started from zero.
Right.
Pretty much.
Good begin with something. It sounds like also as an aside. It probably would not be a popular board to be on. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, all you're doing is somebody else writes up the violations. All you do is basically hear the appeal and make your decision from that. You're not the one that's writing up the violations. You're just listening to their arguments on why they don't deserve to have the fine or whatever because their grass is 2 feet tall. Okay.
Do we decide on the fines?
No, the fines are designated by the offense.
Okay.
It's the offense. The violation. Like parking on the street. What's parking on the street? Or what was it?
I think the current ordinance has a range from 25 to like 150 or 200.
Yeah, it depends on how many times you get fined.
How many violations do they get before the car is towed? Or, I mean, what's the recourse if you keep, you know,
Well, he
tears
them up.
Is it right? He tears them up, right? So
we know.
They're not punitive. They're
okay, let us get the rental ordinance in and address it this way. Okay, because once we have documentation, there's more than a single family in there.
Right.
Then we can bring this up to the higher authorities.
Okay, so there's
Steve
a hierarchy. Okay.
Yeah, right. Steve knows the hierarchy. Okay. He will take care of it from that point.
So you're the officer that.
There's a few of us, but we're familiar with that house. I just wrote him a ticket again Saturday. It's a car.
The red car?
The white car. It's been expired for like a year.
And they drive it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I know they do. I'm telling you. And they drive it?
Right.
If it's not past time, then it should already been home.
Okay. We got to move along. We got budgeting to do tonight. Oh, yes, sir.
I'm here. Tim Jaggers. I'm at 12,000. I'm next to
right.
the gentleman in question. Appreciate what these ladies say. A couple of things. For one, at my age or our age, the gentleman can be a little intimidating. He doesn't come across that way, but
you never know.
You just can't. I mean, if he were to go off, I'd be running, and I can't run very fast. Mm-hmm. My main concern is safety.
Right.
My wife, my little dog. I don't have a problem with the dog going out, sounding off in his yard, making a little bit of noise. But when he gets up next to that fence, we've had to spend money on our fence. Kathy went over, my wife went over. We had an area, a small area underneath the privacy fence with chain link where they were getting at each other and making it worse. She went over to block it off, and one of those big, won't go on the term I would like to call him, literally came up and under that fence and almost took her hand off.
Wow.
When I got home, we put concrete blocks. I've since been able to get over there. It's very intimidating.
Did you call animal control about that?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
But I did manage to get over there. You just got to steel your nerve and actually screw some boards up so it's now safe. About 2 months ago, a small child took one of these monsters for a walk, and it was like, that's not a good idea. He cannot hold that thing back. He did it successfully. About 3 weeks ago, the dog got out, and they were running, and his kids were looking for him. They gave up. They came back. Three young ladies in the court adjacent to us found him. If I'd have known they were looking for him, they actually cornered him. Got him on a leash and got him back. As they rounded the corner, I was sitting in my garage with my older son, he's 30, and my little pup on a, he's just a little dog, on a chain, not a chain, but a cable. And as soon as that dog saw my dog inside of my garage, he was out of that girl's hands, off that leash, and was sitting between my legs. Before I could blink an eye, my son snatched up my little dog during the house, left me terrified. The monster was sitting right there, literally inside my garage. We did call animal control. It took all weekend just to calm everybody and the family down. They said if you'd had it on camera, we could do something. Well, I don't put a camera up, but they wouldn't accept. I mean, they were polite. They're just limited. And it's like those ordinances. Some things have teeth, some things don't. And
right.
No teeth behind it. So I've now put a camera on the front yard, but it's not an expensive one. It's got a door.
Right.
I'm extremely concerned about safety.
Right.
The fence that he did put up, I did allow him to attach it to the corner post of my fence. It's got bar spacing, probably 3 to 4 inches apart. I've done some research on the animal code. If a child can reach his hand through that fence, it's not up to anybody's code. If a little girl or somebody walk up with a nice little puppy, get their hand in there, that hand's gone. Mm-hmm. Pete will tell you the viciousness of the dog. I'm sure you know some of that story.
Oh, I know Pete's
His
story.
Wife won't even walk outside. Right. She's terrified to even get on her.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-mm. The other thing is, I have a very dear friend who owns her own brokerage firm. I am moving. Part of it is because I'm ready to get away from everybody. Even you guys. We've had a very nice little court for a long time.
Right.
I've had my issues. There's been some things that have gone on with everybody. But we have, it's been, the sense of urgency is, it's like, we got to go now. She's a broker, owns her own brokerage firm in Middletown. She told me that just the appearance of that property will cost me $10,000 to $15,000,
right,
even if they don't know about the dogs.
Right.
I just had an appraisal for 180. I'm shocked, and that's as is. We're getting ready to do the final renovations and move on with
right.
our life. But I would love that place. I'm ready to
right.
it.
Right.
It's
scary.
You shouldn't have to move.
Right. I shouldn't have to move. To be honest with you, I'm tired of stairs. And, you know,
it's ready though.
Yeah, I want to be out the
door. We're done.
But it has nothing to do with the neighborhood.
Well, this is one of the reasons why we come up with the rental property
and
registration.
And I understand, and this ordinance, if it doesn't have teeth, it's not going to work, y'all.
Exactly. Right.
Well, the thing is, first we've got to identify the houses that are rental properties.
Right.
So that we can address the rental property conditions, because all properties in Jefferson County are required to have certain standards. And obviously that one is way out of standards, and we've got to have the names and the owners that we can.
Not everybody that owns rental property is what
right.
I call a slumlord.
Right.
That see the value and continue.
Yeah, right.
So everybody knows that, but I'm here just to back up these ladies
okay.
and ask me to come. They are 100% spot on.
As you come in the front entrance, there's a little sign down there near the sidewalk that says
Thank
House for Rent. It's a 626 something.
Well, there's nothing we can do about the sign.
No, but you could call and find out who it belongs to.
Well, it may not be in our city. It may be down in one of them cottages.
I don't know.
Okay.
I just have one thing to say
okay.
on the dogs. Like I said, my wife is scared to go out with them.
Right.
In the court itself, and she's also scared to let our dog run in the backyard because
right.
they have gotten over there.
Right.
The incident where he mauled one of my dogs,
right.
I wound up shooting his dog.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So you know, but there's got to be something with animal control,
right.
and did you tell me that or something, that there's still some litigation going on, because
they destroyed the fence behind him.
I don't know.
They were supposed to build a dog run or something with the, you know, at least 10 feet high with a chain link on the top of it.
Well, you can't put, number one, if there is covenants in Worthington Hills, you cannot put any level of fence over 5 or 6 feet. I don't remember which one it is, but it's part of the original building when they put this in. There is a height limit on how tall the fence can be. In fact, for the longest time, there wasn't supposed to be any privacy fences either, but since nobody enforced it, it got put in and basically, we're looking on how to fix that too. So,
but the gravel parking lot is gravel.
There is nothing
to do about that?
No, no. In fact, code enforcement okayed it, or has not written it up. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Within the parking ordinance, there's a provision where you can put a parking pad.
Right.
Awesome.
Gravel pad.
Yeah. But you can't put gravel right down on top of just dirt, your grass.
Grass.
I mean, that's just not.
No. It has to be done correctly.
It needs to be excavated.
That's what he did.
No, he didn't excavate at all.
He put gravel on top of grass.
He created a.
And when he put gravel on top of the water meter, it wasn't.
The
right
LGB has not been in that yard. The guy came by the other day. You ever go in that yard? Said, no, I haven't tried.
Here's my calculator.
Okay.
All of money or not?
We need to move along. Okay. Yeah, the laws. Is there anything else before I move along here? Okay. Next, we have the. Has everybody looked at the May 21st, 2019 city minutes and reviewed them?
Yes. Yes.
Do I hear a
motion that we accept the May city minutes?
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell.
I second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, no opposes. All right. Dan's not here. He's with the Boy Scouts out in New Mexico doing this big hike. I hope he's having fun. I hope he comes back. All right. Did everybody review the financial report? And did anybody find any issues with the financial report? So I hear a motion on the financial reports.
Motion to accept financial reports.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. Do I hear a second?
I second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Has everybody reviewed the invoice receipts and reimbursements? Okay. We'll pass the list around. Do I hear a motion to accept the items listed? Is there any questions about anything on the list?
I make a motion that we accept them and pay them.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Next, the city attorney's reports. No long stories.
Please.
First of all, I want to apologize for going off the rails at the last meeting.
Just move along.
I apologize, everybody here. I want to tell you that everybody on this side of these desks, we all made up. Anyway, it's okay as far as I know. But with that said, I think that first, and there's no particular order here, I was working on ordinances today, a security agreement we got to prepare the wording for the budget ordinance, so I can figure that out. But this is the second reading of the ordinance number 332-2019.
Hang on, let me pass this out. Yeah, you sent it out and I made copies.
I will say this though, that Estelle invited me down to the annual meeting of the Second World War Veterans on the Memorial Coliseum on South 4th Street, and it was amazing. It was amazing. This place was packed. It was hot. And the man from West Virginia, he was up wearing the Congressional Medal of Honor, spoke. This guy was saying,
what else? All right.
He wasn't 16 years old. It was amazing. But after that, I thank
you. Can you speak up a little bit,
Larry?
Please tell the stories.
I know he is. It's a nice story.
I know. We need to move along because I got budget stuff that's got to be done.
I want to speak up again. Estelle invited me down to the annual convention of the World War II Veterans, the Center Memorial Coliseum on South 4th Street, and it was amazing. Estelle was involved in the Warrior Project, wherein veterans can go to Washington, D.C. and be vetted for their service. And I haven't done that yet. I got to get enough nerve to do that. But regardless, this place was packed. It was hot. And the Congressional Medal of Honor from West Virginia spoke. He saved hundreds of lives, of GI lives. And he spoke. Henry what's her first name?
Heather French.
Heather French Henry spoke. She's a star. But anyway, it was a wonderful program. They had good food, a lot of GIs and stuff, and it was very nice, and I encourage people to go next year. Okay, ordinance number 3, I'm going to read the second reading. Ordinance 3, series 2019, an ordinance regarding rental property of the city of Williamsville. Now, I want to point out that I formatted an outline that I sent it out, and there were probably everybody at these tables sent in comments about missing commas, missing words. They added things, and this is an effort of everybody sitting behind these tables, and for their help, I appreciate that. Section 1, pursuant to KRS 83A 0605, City of Rolling Hills, here under Syracuse City, hereby adopts and incorporates by reference Title 11, Chapter 119 of the Lowell Metro Government's Code of Ordinances. This has to do with registering rental properties. Section 2, a copy of Title 11, Chapter 119, Ordinance Number 3, Series 2019, which is this ordinance, shall be maintained as a permanent city record by the city clerk, who is Beverly, and posted on the city's website, and there's the city's website. Section 3 is used herein, the word owner shall mean an owner of rental property. Section 4 is used herein, the word rental property shall mean real property owned by its owner located within the city. 5, every July, and when a rental property is leased, owner shall electronically transmit, hereafter transmit, the completed city website rental property registration form, hereafter form, for each of owner's rental properties to that address. Section 6, for each form not transmitted within 10 days of the date of the city's non-compliance notice letter, owner will be fined up to $100 per day until owner transmits the form. Passed and approved today, if it's vetted and passed and approved by a majority vote today. The Section 6 contemplates, obviously, non-compliance by a letter. So I abbreviated this thing. I think it's good the way it reads, but it's open for discussion.
Is there any questions? I have a copy of the Louisville rental registration ordinance. And everybody's been on the site and saw the rental registration form?
Yes, and I like it because they have to list everybody that's in living in the property.
Right. Right. Okay. And if we have a problem with them listing the children and the relationship, we can change. We're probably going to change it to the first name and the relationship to the parent. Okay?
Yeah.
If somebody falls. All right. But the idea is to get the number of people that are living in the house so we have the square footage of the house, we'll know who's violating single person.
Well, and even if they didn't want to put the names, the child's name, they could either put like male,
right,
6 months old, or female,
mm-hmm,
3 years old, or
good point,
something like that. I would be a little leery of putting my child's name on anything.
Okay. I agree. Well, we can work that out with the property commission. So, do I hear a motion to accept the ordinance number 3, series 219 or 2019?
I make a motion that we accept ordinance number 3, series 2019.
Thank you, Commissioner Goodell.
Second.
All right, who's going to fight over it?
You can
have it. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. Let's have a voice vote, or a roll call vote. Commissioner Eichenberger, since it's property maintenance.
Yes.
Commissioner McCaff?
Yes.
Commissioner Beville?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
And Mayor Stone? Yes.
Beverly's affixing her signature and she's passing it to Mayor Stone for his. Next, I would like to, at the recommendation of Officer Tate, as you know, his company, Derby City Protection LLC, has been providing police services for the city for over a couple of years, I think, and it's time for renewal. So they passed an ordinance, or statute, I mean, that increased the bid requirement amount from $20,000 to $30,000. So we don't have to bid this contract because the ceiling now is 30 grand. If it was still 20, this contract would be over 20 grand. So we'd have to let it up for bid. I'm confident that Officer Tate has performed his duties beyond reproach. So with that said, I worked on this also today, and I'm going to read this. And the only, and all, obviously, if anybody has any input, wording or adding or subtracting or whatever, that's fine. But the only, I just talked to Officer Tate, and he thinks that we should do this on a year-to-year basis. So just make this a one-year contract.
Okay.
And I think in line with the law, we probably have to do that. But anyway, this June 18, 2019 agreement between the cities, Derby City Protection LLC, hearing after contractor, and the Jefferson County City of Williamson Hill City jointly parties, whereas the City Commission voted to enter into this agreement. If you do, during the June 18, 2019 city meeting, this contractor has dutifully complied with the terms of the previous agreement by, among other things, enforcing city and metro, Louisville Metro Government ordinances and Kentucky statutes. All officers, regardless of what city, you have some of these cities that have their own officers, and there's, as you know, interlocal cooperation agreements, but anyone who's sworn in as a police officer and even sheriffs within the state of Kentucky can enforce the laws within the state of Kentucky, be there our ordinances in here, city ordinances within Jefferson County, or state statutes within the state. So it's an awesome responsibility. Whereas company managing City LLC is a limited liability company. And limited liability companies can be managed by a manager or by its members. He owns the company, so it's a manager-managed company. So that's what I'm getting into here. Whereas company managing member Tate Mason informed the City Commission during the June 18, 2019 meeting that company was authorized to enter into the agreement. Anytime you're dealing with an entity, be it an LLC, an Inc., you have to have that company or that LLC authorize an agent or a manager of a company to enter into contract. So he, as manager, is authorized him to enter into this agreement, and the company police officers were authorized, he and company police officers, they are all Metro police officers who are permitted by Metro government to perform duties in contracts like this while using Metro cars and while wearing Metro uniforms. So he and company police officers were authorized by government to perform as required herein. Now, therefore, in consideration of representations and covenants or promises contained herein, and other good and valuable consideration. For any contract you need an offer and acceptance, you need consideration flowing both ways. It's like buying a Snickers bar for a dollar, the dollar of a Snickers bar. That's the consideration. While patrolling the city, Tate, Mason, and contractors, police officers shall wear a government police uniform, drive a government police vehicle, and perform their duties pursuant to government training. They are trained by Metro Police Academy, or whatever it's called. Number two, Tate Mason, the City Public Safety Commissioner, that would be Dennis, shall no later than the 20th of each month prepare a flexible written policing schedule for the succeeding month. Flexible means that it can be changed should there be a problem within the city and Officer Tate's required to come in, and that it's flexible. On the second Thursday of each month, contractor shall email the previous month's invoice to commissioner. And then obviously that would be presented by Commissioner Dennis at the meeting for payment. Barring emergencies, Officer Tate or his designee shall attend city meetings. And this is where I ask federally to straighten it out. I'm doing this stuff, and I get to the point where I can't move things around the way they should be. So that's my, fail-safe. She will line that correctly. Contractor shall be paid $37 for each policing hour. The agreement term is from July 1, 2019 to June 30th, 2020. What I propose that I do is to clean this up. Definitely insert the 2020 and line that up correctly. I'm kind of angled that way, and then I can send it to Mayor Stoneman. Just say this, come out there.
We lined them up.
I have a question. I know you can't tell us when you're going to patrol or what days of the week or anything like that, but how many hours? How do I say this? How often do you patrol?
Yeah, well, the weekend hours are set, so we're here 12 hours a week. On Friday and Saturday, it's 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Okay, 10 to 1 on yeah. Saturday and Sunday, or
Friday night and Saturday night.
10 to 1, okay.
And then during the week, one day is we're here 8 to 11 one day, and then 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. another day, and those days are random throughout the week.
8 a.m. to 11
p.m.? No, sorry, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., okay. And then 3 p.m. to 6 p.m.
I was going to say, all those rowdy school children are out of school now. Okay, I thank you for telling me that, because I just didn't have any idea.
That's a great question. I don't know
who it is. How many officers do you employ with your... You are the president of the company?
Correct.
Okay, how many officers, metro officers, do you employ?
Just for this client, there's four of us that cover the
and
hours.
And rotate through?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was going to ask about 12,002. You've had association with that.
With what? I'm sorry. Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Steve, it's lined up, and I put 20 down here. So
okay, well, that must have done that.
No,
Bob
did it.
Okay, then we can. Does it have the correct date?
I put 2020.
Okay, good. Then we had.
I just wrote it in down here.
It's, you know, you didn't send it to me. That's okay.
I did too. You didn't look. All right. So do I hear a motion to accept the continuation of the contract with Derby City Police or Derby City Protection? Yeah, Derby City Protection.
Accept.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. Do I hear a second?
Second, Matt.
I'll give that to Commissioner Metcalf.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis, I just stepped right on your little...
He's a Marine.
That's all right.
You got to talk in my
room. All right. Roll call vote. Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Commissioner Bebel?
Has Dennis said it yet?
Yes. Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Eichenberger?
Yes.
Mayor Stone? Yes.
Okay, we have a contract.
Okay.
I'll say that you can sign the date. What I'll do is I'll copy that, disseminate a copy to all the commissioners. Bev will keep the original. Officer Tate will have a copy also. I feel very good about that contract.
Sorry. Okay, for Wayne Betty's unemployment claim, please keep it short.
Okay. You know, I think that Betty and Coleman did a good job to a point, but and we're friends, and we've had lunch together and stuff, but... they resigned, and then they both filed for unemployment insurance benefits. And so Betty has appealed her decision, their decision. They just said, no, you resigned. And then there was an email that Roy sent to Mayor Stoneham where it says that both he and Betty work full-time. They run a company. They're involved with a nice church. It's a nonprofit organization. They're very involved with that. And it hurts me to have to, you know, represent the city. I don't represent them now. And they've dug in, and I think that what happens is that with Roy's claim, they're going to make a decision within a couple of weeks, and then they made a decision with Betty's, and she's filed an appeal, and the deadline for her to file her appeal was yesterday, so I'm going to have to file a memorandum brief to submit basically to incorporate all the exhibits and, you know, paraphrase some of the testimony and stuff. But today we had Roy's hearing, and he's his own worst enemy, and he kept interrupting the hearing officer, and she kept saying, Mr. Coleman, you know. So anyway, I think we'll get a favorable decision there. Again, it hurts me. They're my friends. I don't know if they consider me that anymore, but regardless, we've got that under control.
Okay. All right. For those who don't, everybody familiar with Grand Theft? Okay. here at the meetings tomorrow at 9 a.m. Scheduled for an hour and a half. You don't have to go if you're not wanting to, but here's what we've got going on. I pretty much forced their hand to have that meeting. Steve, you're going to be there, right?
Where is it?
It's over at Granite Facts. They're on Westport Road.
Yeah, so you're
okay. You know where Rudy's is at, right?
Rudy's.
You know where Kendrick Lane is?
Yeah.
Okay. Just keep going up West Coast Road.
You know when those trucks come out like at 80 miles an hour? And
All right.
Yeah, and cars live 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I wish they did.
Okay. All right. Anyhow, force the issue. They have noise and lighting violations going on there. Is there a lighting violation in Metro Louisville?
Okay. Yes, there is, yes.
Okay. We have people that live on Bay Run are getting, they're having sleep problems. They're having sleep deprivation because of the noise and the lights. They've been very bad neighbors, and now they're moving down one door down to add to the problem, which is going to affect East Bay Villas. The reason why we found out about this meeting is because they couldn't get a hold of the Homeowners Association president over there. So they contacted me, and I just rasped them left and right about how bad this neighbor is, and they aren't going to put a 200-foot pipe in our neighborhood. So anyhow, they can't do anything because Metro is mandated. Metro Sewer District is mandated to have this meeting before they can proceed with the project. And there is problems. So I've got some pictures. I've got all these items. I'm bringing up flat surface runoff is a big issue. Jim Lawrence, who lives on Bay Run Drive, had all those home damage done. He's been at the meeting a number of times. He talked about all the water that was coming off there. He supposedly got that fixed and got a settlement. But again, there's still noise, there's still lighting. So we're on top of that. And I just wanted to let you know the meeting's at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning at Ground Effects.
At Ground Effects?
Parking area behind the old Aon and
That's
Ground Effects.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen flags along the front. Are they rethinking?
That's a good question. We don't know.
See, that was my suggestion. Put that drainage pipe out front.
Right. Instead
of in the back.
They might be putting the sidewalk. We don't know. Anyhow, that's tomorrow morning. Okay, you got anything else, Steve?
I think, yes.
Okay.
I've been working on an ordinance, and we also have to read in. We have two more ordinances to go through. And by the way, Dawn was elected by the other commission members to fill in the commissioner seat. The guy that ran and won never showed up for me. So Dawn has to run. There's a special election. I sent that KRS to Robert. Did he give it to you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I meant to send it to you, and I thought that it's...
No, I didn't get it.
You didn't get it?
No.
I'll send you both the statute. All right. What you need to do to file for a special election in the fall.
Do we have to do an ordinance?
No. I think... Well, let me look at the statute. I just sent it. I thought we could discuss it tonight, but apparently it didn't go through. It might be in my outbox. I was having trouble with my server on this phone. I'm going to the Apple Store tomorrow to figure it out. So that, but I thought I sent it from my computer. But regardless, I'll do that first thing in the morning, maybe even tonight. We've been working on an ordinance that we named Ordinance Number 4, Series 2. Have we had a first? We've had a first reading on the budget ordinance, haven't we?
We've had a first reading on the budget ordinance.
Okay, I'm going to paraphrase. Now, the ordinance, the budget was reviewed in depth by the people sitting behind the desk here. So this would be ordinance.
Hold it.
Is that right?
Hold it. We haven't finished the budget. We probably have to read that after we get done approving the budget amounts tonight.
Okay.
But we may not do that because we got an increase from Rumpke.
We can change numbers.
Okay, that'll come last. I'm jumping out of the city. Okay, now, this Take care. This ordinance will be the first reading. We can number it the next time. The City of Woodland Hills safety ordinance regarding vacant houses located in the city. I work on this a lot today and try to take, I like to take unnecessary words out, but whereas Reliable National.
Stick around.
Oh, that's. Whereas Reliable National studies reflect that vacant houses diminish surrounding property values and pose health and safety risks for local residents. Now they're ordained by the City Commission. That purpose. This ordinance's purpose is to require the plaintiffs of foreclosing lawsuits, foreclosure actions when someone's not paying the mortgage. So then what they do is the foreclosing mortgage company or anybody that's trying to enforce a judgment lien, a mechanics lien, or any lien on property has to do a title search, and everybody who has a lien on that property has to be named as a defendant to come in and protect their interest in that property. So when there's a foreclosure action, that is, it can be a judgment lien holder or a mechanics lien holder. Then I'll change that to reflect. But anyway, this ordinance purpose is required of plaintiffs. It's generic enough. This ordinance is required of the plaintiffs of foreclosing lawsuits, and that can be me as a mechanics lien holder or a judgment lien holder. It's not just financial entities, and I remember now for making that more general. It's to require plaintiffs of foreclosing lawsuits, here in a lawsuit, a city located property to file a completed registration form, here in effort form, with the City Property Maintenance Commission. You've got to prepare a form. Lawsuit plaintiffs, what that's going to require them to do is to fill out this form and say who they are. And what we're saying here is the lawsuit plaintiffs shall file a form with the City Maintenance Commission within 15 days of filing the complaint. Plaintiffs indeed in lieu of foreclosure. What can happen is if a mortgage company forecloses and the mortgagees just say, okay, forget the debt and we'll transfer the property to you. That's called a deed in lieu of foreclosure. They sign a deed, I'm the owner of the property and I'm not paying my mortgage, so I don't want to go through all this stuff. I'll sign a deed in lieu of foreclosure. You sign a deed in lieu of foreclosure, which I'm assigning my ownership to the plaintiff in the lawsuit, and then the court is notified that the case has been dismissed. So lawsuit plaintiff shall file a form of the City Property Maintenance Commission within 15 days. Plaintiffs indeed in lieu of foreclosure, grantors, if I sell property on the grantor, the grantee is the grantee shall comply with city ordinances, which means that if I'm a mortgage company, I'm foreclosed and I get the property foreclosure sale, or if the deed in foreclosure requires those entities to maintain the properties, okay? That's the objective here. If the form is not timely filed, plaintiff shall be subject to a civil fine of not less than $100 and no more than $500. If a fine is not paid within 7 days of its assessment, they have to be notified. City may report a lien with the Jefferson County Clerk. Pass and approve, I anticipate, maybe next month. So that's the first reading. I'll flesh it out, I'll clean it up, send it out to everybody before the next meeting. So that would be considered the first reading of that ordinance. Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Okay. Moving along. Old business. Has anybody got anything old business they want to talk about? Okay. I've got a couple things. The backup garage transitional technologies is done with the backup garage, and basically they recovered a substantial. All the information is just kind of onesies and twosies, but there are some bigger files that were deleted, whether they were automatically deleted by the software or intentionally deleted. Dan and I are looking at the QuickBooks stuff. So we're still involved in that, and their bill was on there. They got us, we got an 8 gig hard drive of backup off of hard drives that amounted to about 3 gig. So it's all condensed when they delete, and this thing expands it out. So that's why we have that. The Girl Scouts, I assume, are still working in the neighborhood, because I've seen numbers going on the streets.
I'll give you a report on that.
Okay.
One of the reasons they have, she has several different groups doing this. The older girls will be putting the numbers on. They've made several attempts, and I can tell you that for a fact, because they've come to get the paint and stuff, and then have to go back because either the wind's blowing, or it's too humid. Because yesterday, when she and I came back from going to order her daddy a birthday cake, one of the mothers called and said they were on their way if it wasn't raining at our house, which it wasn't. But it wasn't long till the clouds came in. Yeah. So, and I haven't had a chance to talk to her today to see whether they got any done at all. But they were going to start on this. They wanted to start on Beverly Street. But she told them to start on a shorter street in case they could only get one street done. But the weather is not cooperating.
Yeah. Right. No.
Yeah, the weather's really throwing a monkey wrench in it.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to earn a little bit of that bronze award, aren't they?
But she had her little girls doing the boxes, Frank. And the older girls, she's got three different age groups. And the older girls are doing the other, the numbers.
It's so. It really, I was way back a Girl Scout leader, and it's really nice because sometimes they really need to earn these awards, and it's hard to find somebody, a place to do it. So I really appreciate, you know, us letting them.
Well, if any of you all have flags hanging and they get in bad repair, if you will take them to her house next door to me. Okay. They have, sometime in the spring, they go camping, and they have a flag-burning ceremony.
Right.
Oh,
hmm.
So
properly honoring the flag.
Right.
Proper,
she does.
Proper.
She does collect flags. Right.
Good to know.
Okay. Next thing that I have on here is the budget finalization. I want to table this so we do the new business and then come back, okay, because I've got a way that we can deal with the rumpy stuff, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Anything in new business? Yes, ma'am.
Well, you all know that I've been wanting to get these street lights put in.
Oh, yeah.
And 8 lights in 4 locations and these really dark streets that don't have any lighting. I talked to Jim Pearson from LG&E. And they now have the new LED lights to lease. We currently have those high pressure sodium lights. They have stopped making that particular kind of bulb. They are going to continue to use them until that what they have is depleted, and then they will all go to LEDs. We know that LEDs use less energy, you know, and they don't have mercury in them, so that's a good thing, too. What he told me is from the first fade of dirt that they turn to put in a new light until that light comes on, if we put in the LED lights, it will cost us $21.33 per light.
And that's all?
And that's all.
Wow.
That is amazing. That's all. Now, that will add an additional $170.64 a month to our LG&E bill. But I think that's a pretty good amount of money and well spent if we can get lights down on those dark places that don't have them. Now, what Don and I will have to do is get together, because there are some yards through which they will have to run the lines, and we need to get those people's permission to go through their yards to do that. Now, he said there won't be any upfront costs involved, and they will obtain the necessary. We just have to get the residents to agree to it. Now, if the resident says, I don't want the light there, I don't want you going through my yard to put it anywhere on my street, they have to take an alternate route, then we may have some additional costs. But no, he said nothing substantial at all.
Okay.
So.
Is this replacing the existing lights?
No, this is not. As the lights go out now, as in other words, if a light bulb just plain burns out, they will continue to use what we have now, those yellowish type bulbs, until the supply is depleted. But the new lights they put in will be LED.
And they just screw into the original
picture? Mm-hmm. The LED lights, the LED bulbs will fit the old fixtures. They just won't start using them until they've depleted the supply of the old bulbs. So I was tickled to death to hear that. So
there's no cost to install the lights? Great.
We have to sign a 60-month contract.
Okay.
To rent the light, you know. But or to lease them. We don't rent them, we lease them. But I still think that that's a pretty good price for some lights.
I didn't realize all the streets didn't have them. Can you say something?
There's some.
And I drove around for them.
Okay.
Don't have them.
All right.
You're right. And some of it's the old original part of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's how much for the 60 months additional each month?
For each month, it will add the 8 new lights would add an additional $170.64 to the light bill each month. That's what we're paying.
And that includes the lease. That includes.
That
okay.
is yes. That's,
okay.
That's, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Which it would make a total of to the budget, to the yearly budget, it would be $2,047.68 to the yearly budget.
Okay.
And I think that's reasonable.
Right. Right. All right. So, do we hear a motion to proceed with that?
Go
for it.
I would like to thank you, because I would want to see those courts lit. Thank you. I make a motion that we use those lights and get them in.
Thank you, Carol Campbell, for the motion.
And second.
And thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger, for the second.
And we will begin working tomorrow on contacting the people and getting permission to go across the regions.
So
I can't imagine.
Let's take a vote. I will start with Commissioner Bebel.
Let me think. Yes.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Commissioner Eichenberger.
Yes.
Commissioner McCath.
Yes.
And Mayor Stoneham. Yes. Okay. Anything else that you all want to bring up?
We are getting an increase on our Rumkey is raising the, here it is. Rumkey has effective July 1st, 2019 through June 30, 2020. The city's monthly invoice will be based on 564 units at $14.30 per unit per month. That's a 1.9% increase.
1.9?
1.9% increase, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll figure that here in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
It comes up to $8,065.20
okay.
per month.
Okay, if you'll hang on to that when we get there, we'll get there, okay? Anything else?
I've talked with Steve Chiplet. I can do that in my commissioner's report. I'll do it in the commissioner's report.
Okay. Anything else? All right. A couple things. The Kentucky Municipal Clerks Institute is having their clerks training on July 22nd through July 26th. I've already talked to Beth. Had to work out her calendar. It's in Lexington. And I wanted to see if anybody objected to Bed taking that training for the city clerk.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, do I hear a motion? Okay. All right, next thing is, all right, what's room on that over there? Is it 112?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, it's 112. The clerk's training runs from what? You were.
It was a week, whole week.
You had to drive, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah. That's a booger.
I wouldn't want to do it again. Driving back and
forth. Anyhow, and like to go ahead and have her just stay over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pay for the hotel, not the meals, because they feed you all day long, right?
Mm-hmm.
You won't be hungry.
Happy hour, you'll have happy hour too.
I think you do. I think technically you do have to pay for meals. So if you're sitting there for city business, all her expenses that incurred during that training.
Yeah, but they get meals all day long.
Well, but okay. I'm saying is right. She got.
So I get breakfast and lunch and she'll get dinner.
Are you saying that?
Yeah, the hotel gives you breakfast and lunch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, they're saying you'll still get paid for my dinner.
They'll still have. Anyhow, whatever. Okay. Is everybody okay with signing her up? Is there any objection to Beth going to the city clerk training?
No blame.
All right. So it's all that you're approved. Okay. Next.
I have some new business. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I saw some comments on the neighborhood site.
I'm not talking about the
next door.
Next door is not a sanctioned city website.
I didn't say it was.
Okay, I'll listen.
Just listen. I've seen a couple people on here mention that, you know, the city said they were going to have a Saturday meeting every now and then. When's that going to happen?
They keep asking.
It wasn't a promise I made. Anyhow.
I don't think we should dismiss that so easily, Mr. Mayor.
Apparently
we have to move along. I'm calling
that was
the next door. The next door is not a sanction. If they want to come to the city meeting and talk about it, let them come to the city meeting and talk about it. I'm not dealing with next door issues.
But that was one of the things that we talked about in one of our missions.
Well,
was to have a Saturday meeting.
We talked about it. We didn't promise. All right? I got to move along.
On the next agenda there.
We got to move along. KLC, okay. The property damage coverage. All right? I'm bringing it back up because it was, what, $200-something, $285? Yeah. If nobody's noticed, somebody hit the front light.
What? You mean somebody hit a light out front?
They hit the light, the sign light. It's missing, okay? It's in my truck. But I wanted to bring it up. Nobody stopped for it.
The little light or the big
one? The little one.
Why
didn't
you
guys say
the little
one? You're right. Hey. Yeah. In the island, the main island. So I'm bringing this property damage up. If somebody was to hit the wall at night and not say anything, okay.
I hate to say
that.
I
hope so. Hey, look, I'm bringing it back up again, okay? So, is anybody, should we go ahead and get the property damage coverage too?
Is it $285 a year?
Yes, it's $285 a year.
But there's a $500 deductible with that, right?
I don't remember.
My theory was if they hit the wall and we have to pay the $500 deductible.
How'd they miss the wall?
I got no idea. All I know is they hit whoever hit it with their tire because the way it was run over, you could see the track. So I'm just bringing it up. Should we go ahead and purchase it while we got the opportunity to pay for with the rest of the coverages that we just got?
I have a question. We're already covered for liability if somebody hits that wall and gets hurt. We're already covered. The liability is already in place, right? This is just the damage.
Right. The liabilities. How is the wall going
to... What? Listen, people hit a wall and they're going to sue the city for
the wall. How are they going to... If they hit the wall, how are they suing us? Anyhow, I wanted to bring it up. Do we spend the $285 and buy the additional damage coverage?
Insurance will pay it.
Yes or no?
Well, I know we have a $500 $5 deductible, but could we replace that sign for $500?
No.
I'd like to see the whole thing taken down.
I knew you would,
so. We'll go talk. So
okay, you. I'm going to move along. We're not going to talk about it. I'm going to move along.
Somebody can go wait there?
I just brought it up. Sure.
Oh, while you're talking about that, I would like for you all to please, before somebody has a very, very bad accident up there, please put a stripe down that right-hand side. The other day I went out, and this has happened 3 times in the last month. A car is sitting in the left-hand lane, and I'm getting ready to come out right-handed, and I look up, and here he is also.
Yeah, I know. Wow. I've talked about this before.
And it's happened to me more than once, and it's happened to a lot of people more than once.
What kind of stripe do you need? I mean, do we need? Seriously.
So there's two lanes up there.
There's two lanes.
Yeah, with the left turn arrow.
Yes.
The arrow.
Bob tried to get it done in the past administration, and they liked it. Because this is not the first time.
Wow. Right. Okay.
So and that's something that Steve can do.
Okay, and that's the road commissioner? Yeah,
yeah.
Steve Triplett. Okay, I will.
Yeah, I brought it up to him before.
Okay, I will.
And we need to get the sign for the left hand, right hand turn from Andrew. You know the signs?
Yeah, okay.
You know the sign?
With arrows, I know, but with arrows on it, because where are we going to put those?
We'll put a sign up there before you get to the intersection. It would be where the end of the island is.
Okay.
And before you get into the line, that shows this is where
I'll take care of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Andrew knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So nothing on the property coverage. Surety bond increase. All right. We're about to go into tax season, and right now. Our balance sheet has us just under our $750,000 surety bond limit. So I need the approval to go ahead and move that up to the appropriate amount that we're going to need for this coming tax season, because we will end up with about anywhere from $175,000 to $200,000 in July and August, which is going to put us over that $750,000 that we've got for the surety bond coverage now. And without that, then we're in violation with the KRS.
And then just what we got this year, I mean, or last year, and that special call visit meeting, was the surety bond insurance or something?
Well, right now, the surety bond has Dan, Biff, myself, and Dennis on it, okay? And we're covered for what it's the balance of your bank. In other words, the liquid assets that we can actually touch any time during the year. So right now we went above it for a while when we got the litigation. But now with the tax season coming up, we're going to be up there for a long while. We'll be up there until probably next spring. Probably pretty close to $900,000. So that's the reason why I'm bringing it up. What don't you understand?
So these are people that are bonded. This is for people that are bonded. So that's Bev and you.
Dennis and Dan.
Dennis?
Yeah.
He's mayor pro tem.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Okay.
So do you need a motion for that?
I need a motion.
Well, how much is the increase going to be? I mean, how much
are you going to move it up to a million?
I was going to move it up to a million. It's about, I think she said it was around another $300 a year.
A year.
Don't quote me on that, though. Okay? She didn't give me anything back yet.
For how much coverage?
For another quarter of a million.
So it'll be a million.
I'm looking at whether we're going to go to $900,000. Because you're about to use $20,000 on your road work, okay? And we do have some more expenses for June. So depending on where we're at in June, it'll either be $900,000 or $1 million. But the bottom line is, we're required to have it because of KRS, something or other.
Well, I make a motion that you
increase that to the level that we know we're protected.
Okay.
Whether it's 900,000 or a million.
Okay. Just increase it to the appropriate amount.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. Commissioner Campbell first. Commissioner Ackerberger second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. All right. Reach Alert. Everybody know about Reach Alert?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that nobody knows about Reach Alert.
I do. I know that.
I know about it. How many times we use it? Okay. Reach Alert sent us a bill. The bill is $1,050. I went out there. There is currently 160 people signed up as part of Reach Alert. Now, we have the capabilities on our website to put up a notification screen for anything that we probably, if something was to happen, we could put it up there and do a ticker tape on it too. So my question is do we want to continue with Reach Alert or not? The bill needs to be paid between July 1st and July 31st, but I really would like to tell Reach Alert one way or the other whether we're going to continue on with them or not. We only used it last year 3 times.
Well, and you know, I got an alert this afternoon on my phone about telling me to watch out for flash flooding.
I think most
people, if they have a phone, they would get tornado warnings or
I get mine on my cell phone and my house phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you sue the either
no more
county
than
or the state.
People, you know, if we've only used it 3 times and no more than that signed up for it, I don't know that we can justify the expense of having it.
Well, that's always been my contention every year that it's come up, because they actually 1 year did a mailing. They spent the money on doing the mailing, and we didn't get that much of an increase. In fact, the first year, when I first started checking on it, because I balked at it, we had 115 people signed up at that time, because I've been in contact with Ken every year. And that was 3 or 4 years ago when we first put it in, and now we're only at 160. You know, my gut feeling is we now that we have a good website, and we have the ability to put stuff on it that people with their smartphones can actually go to the website and see if we've got an alert up there. So that's how I would suggest us handle it. So if there's no objection, do I hear a motion to remove Reach Alert from our
kind of a
no-brainer,
isn't it?
Yeah. I make a
motion. Got to do everything by the book, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Got to. I thank you, Commissioner Campbell, for the motion.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. I will let them know. Okay. PDA bills. I sent you all an insert on the of what I'm suggesting we put in with the mailing.
Oh, yes.
And I don't think I made copies of it because I sent it to everybody, and I wanted to see if anybody had an objection to it or anything, because the tax bills, I'm hopefully get the tax bills out next week. Okay. Yeah. This is the one. This is the one that will go in there. Okay. This ain't a good one, but it has our newest ordinance in here, the second item, and it has a notice to the property owners about making sure that their mortgage company pays their bill or the pays their tax payment if they aren't paying them themselves, and then had the contacts and the stuff about our city meeting and the new website.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any objection to this being put into the mailer as the insert this year instead of that one little line?
I think it's really good, because even though it addresses the rental property, it also gives all of our
right. contact and
yes. all of our contact.
This is all we got.
Yeah.
Most every year.
Right.
Okay. So.
Yeah, this is way better details, and I like this.
Okay. So I'll put the ordinance. The ordinance number is now in the new one. The original I started with didn't, so I got the new one. All right. So, right. Do I have the okay?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. I have the okay from my answer. All right. All right. I believe there was one more thing that I needed to say.
Can we back up to that $285 for the...
Sure.
I have no objection to adding it since you're going to... What do the other people feel?
You know how I felt. I didn't think we should drop it to start with. I thought we should...
Well, if you all want it, I'll put it on. I just need your all's okay, and I'll call them up.
What's we that? Need to hear from
the property damage insurance is $285 a year. I mean, it'll go in with our current the policy we got effective July 1st.
Well, you know, I'm okay with it.
What property damage are you talking about?
For some
stuff on the islands.
On the islands.
Just the islands.
Yeah, you know, somebody could drive through the flagpole area and just literally just put a new one up there.
And like on Boynton Court.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what.
Yeah. Yeah, the flagpole. They could just decide to. They want to go up there and beat up on the flagpole. You know, we don't know.
What about graffiti? Even though
the street lights take care of that, El Genie.
Okay.
Like, are they back over a sign?
Yeah.
Or that type of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. If
yeah, because they never tell you unless you actually see
them. Of course not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So move. Do I hear a motion to go ahead and get the property
motion.
Insurance?
Motion.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bevel. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. All right. Let's go back to the budget now. Hopefully we can get this done real quick. If I gave you all, I didn't give you okay. I have, did y'all get, you didn't get this form, okay? I just gave it to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Oh, here, give this to Steve. You've got the one on the, PC there. Here you go, people.
I'll do it. You're good.
I think there's enough there. Okay. If there isn't, you can come back and get more. All right. What I did with this is basically I gave you a bunch, all the information on the previous ones I've handed out. But this morning I said, you know what? I really just need something to work with, and that's why I brought this up. What I did was the first number on top is the number that we have for our property tax. This has been the same number we've had for a couple of years now because our property taxes haven't increased. So this is an estimate. All these numbers are estimates. They're not set in stone. It's a budget. We can always come back later on and amend the budget. So what I did was I went through and left these lines empty so we can make adjustments. And Bev has it on a spreadsheet on her laptop so we can fill these in and make sure they calculate up all right. So on the delinquent property tax receivables, they've had it at 20,000. We've never gotten that high. Now, Dan is on top of this delinquency. Honestly, they have not given Steve any delinquency filings since 2016. So we've got properties out there that have not had liens put on them.
And if I may interrupt, if they owed a tax and there's no lien, and the property sold to another person, that buyer is not responsible for the tax bill.
Right.
Owed at the time the tax was
assessed. So this is not a big number, but it's more in line with what we've been receiving. And I put the year to date back here to the side. This last year, we had $5,393.57 in delinquency taxes. But with Dan taking over, I believe we can double that this next year, because we do have properties that obviously probably haven't paid their taxes. So is $10,000 okay with you all? Okay. All right. You got your spreadsheet there?
No, I can't get on the internet here.
What? You didn't put it on your laptop? Okay.
May I interrupt?
Go ahead.
Within each tax ordinance, there's a provision for attorney's fees. So if it was always $150, the last one was passed, it's kind of commensurate with the time actually spent, because sometimes you've got to appear in court and stuff. But if that, when someone calls me up for a payoff, if we record these tax liens, and then someone's trying to refire the property's being sold, they call me for a payoff, and it's going to include the attorney's fees. So the tax delinquent person winds up paying the attorney's fees.
Okay.
At that time.
Well, that seems fair. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, going down the line, I've got my spreadsheet up, so we make sure we're right. It's okay. Interest. I didn't have a number in here because at the time we were just getting on board with the independent bank, and we have all our monies that we receive is going into the money market account, which is an interest-bearing account, and then we're taking each month and having a, we've got another account that's for expensing. In other words, Dan keeps minimal amount in that expense account, okay, and we have a majority in our money market account. We're going to do away with first financial sooner or later. First, we got to get through this tax season, because I want to see how many taxes go to their lockbox and how many are coming into ours before we make any drastic moves, okay? So just in the period of time that we've had with our monies in Independence Bank, we've been able to acquire $2,011.10. So, do you think $2,500 is a reasonable number to put in there, since we're going to have a full year?
For interest, I think it's reasonable.
Okay. All right, where's that? Okay. All right. The cable. Well, now that Google has removed themselves from Louisville, okay, and AT&T is getting beat up real bad, I think we're going to start getting Spectrum back. We're getting subscribers back to Spectrum. This is what that is this is a Spectrum franchise fee, and I believe we can keep this at $5,000, because I think we're going to have it next year. But right now we're at $41.55, and that's with all the Google and the AT&T people. But I think I've been out to Spectrum, and we've got a lot of people coming back. So
it ain't going to be me.
Well, if you'd asked me about AT&T a day, I'd have told Joe I wouldn't give you 2 cents for it. So I spent 5 minutes on the phone trying to get a junction box.
Well, hey. Is anybody just leaving it at 5,000?
No.
Okay.
They all got their phones.
Hold on. Okay. Now let's see what's next on here.
Insurance premium.
Oh, the insurance premium? Last year I projected it at $140,000. We're right now at $142,000, and I think that's probably where we're going to be at, because the payment, the last quarterly payment was March 31st, so we may get $400 or $500 more. The next bunch of insurance premiums starts coming again in August for the June ending quarter. So I would have to say, and I don't want to go extravagant on this, of course car prices keep going up, but I propose the I proposed 140, but I think we could probably take it up to 145 since we're at 143 or 142. Just a projection. If you want to keep it at 140, what I originally projected it at, whatever you want to do. You want to be conservative on this one, or you want to take a chance? Anyhow.
We just got insurance. We
should No. This is insurance premiums. This is premium tax.
The checks that come in.
Right.
The ones that come to us.
You want to go with 142 since we got 142 this year?
Well, we still have another month to go.
Yeah.
But
you're a gambling woman. Take her to the casinos. Send
you
to the
143. You've been to the post office.
No,
the checks aren't coming in.
Yeah, the checks aren't coming in because we're at the post office today. Two
pieces of
mail. Little things, yeah.
All right, you want to leave it at 140 or 142?
Do it 142 since that's what came in. And
okay.
Okay.
We aren't going to have any litigations. That was just on there to show you what we had. Miscellaneous receivables. I've never figured out what this is. Okay. And we haven't really gotten much. It has been in the past at $1,000, I believe.
If somebody died and decided to leave the city some money, would that be counted as a miscellaneous receivable?
Right. Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Right. So do we want to make it? Can we move it down to 500 where we can be more reasonable than what they're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's turn it over and check that. All right. So at this point, now this is just the revenues that we project that we're going to have next year. We're at 334, 350, 341. All right. The carryover is what we use on reserves for special projects or special needs. In the case we have, right now we will be paying because the audit for 2016 is projected to be presented next month. Okay. We're finalizing it. That is $7,000 or $8,000. And we've got 17 and 18, or 16, 17 audits. And let's just say they're $7,500 apiece. All right, that's $15,000. 18 is a financial report. I'm not sure how much it would charge, but I can't think of it being more than $1,500 at the most. Okay? And then we've got the 19 audit, which is due to be done by the 1st of March. So if we did 7,500 times 3, what would that equal out to?
22.5.
All right. And in the past, we've had, well, this last year, we had 37,000. I had it projected last year was 27,000 and some odd. Do we want to leave it what it was last year? I can tell you what it was. Last year's was
$27,749. But you only had one audit last year.
Huh?
You only had one audit last year.
Right, but keep in mind, these monies have not been spent. They're sitting in our bank account. This is a reserve. These are monies that should have been spent that haven't been spent. Okay? This gives us the availability rather than sucking money out of our current budget to actually go back and grab the money that should have been spent years ago for what should have been done.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
So, just to be on the safe side, I'd like to keep it at the 27,000 mark.
Did you say 27 or 37?
Yeah, well, 37 was when we were talking about the lights. I put that in there for the lights.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
So that's why I had projected, had she got the grant or whatever, we were going to use it for the lights. So, and there was another thing. I don't know what's going on with the grant, but, you know, basically put it in for the lights. I don't know if we can use it for anything else. But
so you're taking it to 27,000?
Yeah, I want to back it back down to 27,000.
Okay.
334. All right. All right, moving down the line. Okay. Courier Journal. I'd like to go ahead and leave it at the 2,000 mark. Any objection to that? We've only spent $599.30, and that's because we had the temporary statute change that allows we're in an unpopulated area that allows us to do what we're doing. But they can change that back next spring, and there ain't squat we can do about it if they do. So we can lower it down if you want, but I'm planning on doing some doing some updates on our ordinances and stuff. So we need to plan on having some. It's about $100 every time we have to put an ad in the paper. It's a little bit more than $100. Okay, just to tell them to go to our website. Imagine that. How about we move it down to 1500? Okay?
I think that's reasonable. That sounds reasonable.
Okay. Okay, governmental dues and subscriptions. This is KLC, JC, Jefferson County League of Cities, Kentucky League of Cities, those kind of dues. Okay? So far this year, we're at $1,332, so I think the $1,500 is probably pretty good.
Okay.
And again, here on these, these are, this is media expense, okay? And these are basically sublines of that. If we get into, when we do our budget, the budget is actually the main course line. It's a media expense. So whatever we come up with the final number on this is what we will have.
This is the straight budget.
We can manipulate in between on the sublines, but we can't manipulate on the major categories. The web page, okay? The web page is $500 and something, and it's got a $15 a month. Discount.
It's $552.20 a month.
Yes, five. Where's my little calculator right now? Whatever. $552.20 plus 15. So that's going to go up $15 the first of the year. Times 1, 2 plus 400 for the domain. That comes out to 720640.
Mm-hmm.
So I had it listed as 7500. We okay there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So our media expense totals out to 10,500. Which is $500 less than what it was originally projected to be. Okay. Open space maintenance. We're on a contract, and the contract's been set. He doesn't get rate increases like Rumpke gets, so I think we can keep it at $32,500. And if we need anything later on, we'll deal with it. You know, if we have more dead trees, hopefully with Harold being on there, he can be able to identify trees we might be able to treat rather than destroy. Because there was a way, had they had jumped on it when he brought it up to them, they can treat for that emerald ash borer. So, is everybody okay leaving it where it's at? 32.5?
Well, he's doing a wonderful job.
Sure is.
The city looks better.
Yes.
I really.
Harold, he's worth every penny.
And he's a real good PR guy. Mm-hmm. All right. We're not planning on any attorney fees, right, Steve, or what? Okay. All right. I didn't know if we had any litigation. All right. So
there is a case that.
Okay. Anything that ends up with zeros is going to be taken out of the budget when it's all said and done. So anything that we don't have an amount on, these are just safety lines. Audit fees. All right. I'm projecting $26,000. Okay. And that's just an estimate, and that's a high estimate, but
we're going to use the same company.
Yeah. We're not moving the company. These people are starting. In fact, they're really starting to like the fact that as they progress, it's getting easier.
Right.
15 was a bear. Okay.
The hard one is done.
Yeah. So 16's gotten easier. 17's going to be even easier. 19 will be really easy because we controlled it 3/4 of the year. So, audit fees okay at 26, or do you want to back it down a little bit? Okay. We'll put 26 in there. All right. Code enforcement. Maybe if we ever get any volunteers, we'll have code enforcement.
We can actually use the money, right?
Yeah. It's an expense. It's basically that $500 is actually for facility fees, because when you have the code board hearings, they actually include just like court costs. You know, the appealer, if they win, okay, they don't get the court costs. Okay, we're out the money. So that's what really this was, but. So the right code enforcement people in there, they will never win. 500 okay?
Yeah.
Oh,
don't bet on that.
They'll take it down, Pat. All right, insurance and bonds. All right, we got the, I think we're going to be okay at the $6,000 mark. Because we'll have a little bit more retail on the surety bond. Okay, but we've got the our other bonds covered. Was it 48? What is it? Did I give these back to you? The insurance is 48,07.45, and with the additional 285, that'll put us just over 5,000. And I doubt the additional quarter mil will be much more than $200 or $300. So, all right. And that adjustment, I've asked them also when I was talking to KLC about this adjustment, if we could work something out to where we could get it a temporary, so that once we drop down to 3/4, that we could drop our insurance back down. I don't know if they're going to be able to, if the insurance company's going to let us do that or not. They're probably saying no. What's this overpayment taxes and insurance? Is that when somebody pays us on a tax and we don't, and they have to pay it back?
What's this?
On overpayment of taxes and insurance.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah. I know all the insurance does, because we've gotten a couple of requests for reimbursement.
It's been a month. It hasn't been 5 times in all these years.
Okay. This year, right now, on overpayment taxes and insurance, we've only got 356. I suggest we lower it to the 1,000 mark, just to be safe.
Yeah.
Okay. Property assessment liens. Explain this, Steve.
Which one? I'm sorry.
Property assessment liens. I think that's the tax bill cost. Isn't that PVA's cost?
Isn't it what?
PVA charges us for they charge us for the tax bills. And I believe this is what they paid last year. It was $42,91.70.
Property assessment. I don't know what the liens is in there for. Wages would be probably what's paid to me, maybe.
Yeah. Well,
those shouldn't be mixed.
Can we just leave it at $4,500? We pay for our tax bills. PBA charges for the tax bills, so I'm believe that's
within. But if you file a lien, you still have to pay for the lien.
Right,
so
right. Yeah. Is $4,500 okay?
Let's see what else down here, yeah.
Okay.
I'd take any liens out of there. That just doesn't make any sense.
Well, we just have a name on the line, okay? All right. So the operating total operating expense is $38,000. Okay. Making up. All right. Mileage. Do we want to leave it at 1,000 or increase it?
1,000 should be
okay.
Sufficient, I would think.
Okay. That's for all of us. All right. Office equipment.
Do we need any more office equipment?
Well, you never know. I don't know. I mean, Dan may decide he wants a laptop. You want to leave it at 900?
You never know. I mean, yeah, go ahead. So what was the 921 that we spent this year?
Probably that laptop and some other stuff.
Oh, laptop and...
Yeah.
We could leave it at that. None of it's not used. We'll drop it next year.
Yeah. Operations, I really dropped this one this year. And the reason why it's got a minus is Dan went in and found some duplications and of charges. And so he put it in operations to as a
credit
or
debit.
Whatever you add, okay? I wasn't ever good at that accounting. I think you debit your account when you expense, you credit your account when you credited our account with it. Okay. Alright. $1,500 okay with everybody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what it was before, maybe. Maybe not. Okay. Let me roll over his rate on this one. Postage, I think postage is
if it goes up again, is that for mailing the tax?
In fact, yeah, we get a discounted rate from Mail Louisville for first class. What it is, I have no idea. I think it's 50 cents versus 55, okay? Any amount of bulk mailing they do over 200 pieces, they give the client the discounted rate. I would like us to leave it at the $1,500. I mean, Bev's got had a roll of stamps. I don't know how many she's got left, but
quite a few.
So I'd like to just leave it at $1,500, even though we've only spent $149 this year. And you know, it's really funny because there was a lot of expense there before. So
on postage,
yeah.
Wow,
yeah, they were topping it out.
There was a lot of expense on those,
yeah. Supplies and stationery. This was a big one before. It was $2,000 plus. It was a $2,100 budget item for years. Mm-hmm. I've moved it down to $1,000 so far this year. We've only spent $512.80. Mm-hmm. So again, we know where the money was going.
Mm-hmm. Mom, yeah, when you talk about that, we've only spent. Is this what y'all spent from January to now?
No, it's from last year.
From last July.
The whole year was only.
Yeah. Telephone expense, we've got fixed rate on telephone expense of $32 and some change.
That's good. Where was the $1,300 from the telephone?
Well, they were paying for cell phones and fax lines. And
are you kidding?
Anybody
me?
Who wants a fax, you can fax off of Nextiva, and I can tell you how to do it if you ever need to fax something.
Okay.
And you can also do attachments because I just did it today. So, $500 okay? Because that's enough for what we're going to pay. All right. Authorized training and reimbursement. Best training is $550 unless she becomes a member of the Clerks Association. I don't know how much that is. Okay. So, $550 plus. The training. for all of us. I think the 2400 is going to work. I tried to figure it out in my mind, but I really didn't have a good figure to work with. So I'm good with the 2400 because we should have some leftover items and our money's in the rest of this category. Okay with 2400? Because right now, with us going all to the academy, we only spent $1,354. All right. So, operating expense this year versus last, $8,800. All right. Moving down. Signage. I always left it $1,000. And the reason why I left it $1,000 is I usually have money left over for the snow removal, so.
And it'll be over that because we've added some when it comes in.
Yeah, but you didn't have that much in snow removal. So.
No.
So we're in the category, okay, so we shouldn't have to do much. Is $1,000 okay with you, Carol?
So what, $500?
The signage.
Yeah.
Signage, $1,000.
$1,000 is fine.
Nope.
Because we'll have to get those.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And will that include painting them? The turning lanes?
That would go in the asphalt or the that would go in the paving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the paving, yeah, because the paving, that's street improvements.
Yeah, that's where I'm improving the budget.
Snow room, we're going to leave it at 45.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, we got a good contract, and which means we also, don't forget, we got to talk to Steve about the situation with the contracts, because I'm questioning where we can do it on a per event.
Oh, you're talking about, so in other words, when they charge the $2,400 to salt and so you're not doing per event, or what are you doing?
No, we're doing the flat rate. Okay, what I'm saying is the contracts moved up, the bidding's moved up to $30,000. Okay.
Okay.
So my question is if we have two contracts or we have one contract, do we have to bid this out?
Okay.
So we'll deal with this because we're going to have to get on top of this because it's coming up on July and we should be putting bids out by the end of August.
Call me. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Call me on that. We'll talk. Yeah.
All right. Salaries are fixed. Okay. And these numbers that we have in here are basically what we've been using. We haven't changed our salaries, so I would have to say that this amount is correct. So I figured in all the employers' contributions and to all the things that we have to pay. And the administration charge, I never know what they're going to charge each month, because they charge based off of how much work they have to do. So we have quarterly reports, we have monthly budgeting, so the $1,200 is, I believe, a good number. I'd just say we leave it where it's at, the $171,992. Mm-hmm. Okay? Any problems with that?
No.
Okay. Security expense, I moved this one up from 23 to 25. Is there any objections to that?
Still less than we paid so far this year.
Well, you know, the reason why we paid, they had almost spent all our freaking money before we even took office, so. Okay, utilities. All right. What did they come up with as a monthly rate now?
For Rumpke?
Yeah.
$8,065.20
for a month. That is a
new charge? That's not. $14.30
per
unit. 564 units.
We're currently paying $84.1692.
I'm just telling you what I'm looking at. Maybe Walt check my math.
Well, you know what that is? That's just for the house units. That's not for the dumpsters.
That's not for the dumpsters, and we don't get it. It's evidently, this is based on their units, and we haven't gotten an increase in the dumpsters.
Okay. Hang on. Let me see what the dumpsters cost.
$564, I think, a month.
Okay, hang on a second. $504.
$504 a month.
How much does that include? How many?
Four.
Okay. The monthly cost
and
total.
And they ask twice a week.
The monthly cost total is $85.69.20. Write that down somewhere.
$85.69.20. Yeah. And that's with the increase?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that takes us to 102.830. Look how close I got.
102.
Yeah, and I projected $103,000 because I knew the raise was coming.
So you want it exact, or you want to leave it 102?
What?
It was 102.830. I'm just gonna take it up to 130. Do you want to take it up to 105?
I don't think we'll have an increase on the dumpsters.
Okay, we'll do 103.
Yeah.
Okay.
So leave it
pretty damn good guess.
103, because that's only like.
All right. Now you say we're getting. Okay. We're currently. What's the electric bill?
When we get the new lights in.
Hang on a minute. Okay. I got to look at what the. We're at the highest point of the electric bills right now, okay? Because we're on summer. And the. Oh, no. Okay. The new. How much more month is it going to be?
The eight new lights will be $170.64 per month added to the bill. That's adding
$2,047.68
budget.
Okay. Based off of what we've got for the LG&E bill, which is usually around $2,021, this month it was $2,165.08. I took that number, added the amount you gave me, and then multiplied it by 12, it came $28,024.
Because see, we're still going to be paying $23 a month for those lights that the old light.
Right.
You know.
Right.
We're just going to be paying less for the new one.
Right. Yeah. So what I say is, let's take the street lighting up to $29,000.
Yeah, $29,000.
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay. The water, God only knows. We're
not paying sewer anymore, are we?
No, we're nothing paying sewer. Want to leave it at $2,500?
I would think that would be reasonable.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm sure it hasn't been turned on yet this year. You talked about the water and the, like the flagpoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely don't need sprinklers.
Yeah.
No, right now we don't.
Yeah. We could sell some.
All right, now this is what I've heard of. Okay. Right now, we are, and we can take care of this with carryover. We're almost $6,000 out of balance.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your statement. What did you just say?
Okay. When we figure in... Hang on a second. Let me see what it's taking the number from. It's I think I might have the wrong number, hopefully.
Can we increase that to 2,000? What'd you do with it? Was it 15?
No,
it's the one we came from.
No, it's 15 and 54.
Look at that. You say it's 500.
Okay. We're $6,000 out of balance. We got $6,000 more in expenses than we've got in the revenues listed above. And one or two.
See, we took $500 off of the media.
Okay, $500 off the media.
We took $1,000 off of total operating expenses.
You could probably take $500 off water since it was on all last summer and it was still just a little over $2,000 and it hasn't even been turned on yet this year.
Yeah, I told Harold I don't want to turn the irrigation system on.
Well, some of that last year was faucets just constantly running.
Just yeah, they had a sprinkler system.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's take $2,000. Let's do water at $2,000.
And that'll give us $500 and give us $500 more.
Salaries we can't do anything with.
But you added $2,000 to the utilities, remember?
Yeah, I added $2,000 to the utilities because I had to add $2,000.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that was.
We added $2,000 to the street lighting too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I meant street lighting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a special project we could put up in carryover since it's a 5-year. It's a 5-year lease on it that we have to pay, or a 5-year contract.
How much money are you looking for?
Well, right now, we are looking for $5,500.
Did you change over payment taxes and insurance?
Yes, yeah, we decreased
$5,000.
Okay.
We can't
well,
do anything with
the engine. It's going to be a much warmer than normal winter, and you got 45 for snow removal. Maybe drop that to 45.
Yeah, we could, but...
Have you ever gone over the $4,500?
In 2014, it was $83,000. But that was back when they were paying by the hour. Yeah. We're paying by the flat rate now. And okay. Would yours come up this year, 25?
No, it was only... it was only 17 something.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a chance and drop it to 40?
We can. That would give us the 5. And then don't everybody be yelling at me in the meeting.
Yeah, the minute it's what the first snowflake falls, someone's calling her up for in there.
Okay. Now we're 550 something, 438.59.
$400.
Well, just say $500.
$400. We're dropping it back to 40.
What about Courier Journal? Did you think that's 2,000?
No, we moved it to
1,500. We dropped it.
Okay. We already dropped that one.
You increased your insurance premium by 2,000.
I had 1,500.
Yeah, we had to increase.
Where
is that?
I never.
No, we're at 6,000.
Yeah.
We're at 6,000.
Oh,
yeah, and that is that's basically
yeah,
what we're spending right
yeah,
now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we give what operations are?
Stationary.
And that's a good question. Operations is your mileage, your office equipment, your postage, your stationery.
No, you got postage, younger.
I was going to say, what about the postage?
All right.
Operations.
You want me to move the postage down to 1,000?
I want to know what operations is. I'm sorry.
That's a catch-all.
Well, if it's just a catch-all, then take $500 off.
Okay. Believe me, it was $9,000 a year ago.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying it was, you know, you said Dan found some.
Okay. There we are.
You're taking that $500 off of what?
Operations.
Okay.
Just the operations subline. All right, that leaves it. A plus 6141.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, over there, that seems like that's balanced.
That's where we're
at. That's balanced. Okay. Let's go to the next page on the map. Steve, isn't this good?
I'm listening.
All right. This is a wish list. sheet, okay? The municipal road funds, oh, and by the way, I want to bring it up. I was out looking to see if why we didn't get paid on the municipal road fund, and I called DLG today. It finally caught up with us.
So we get the audits done.
Yes.
So we're not going to get paid.
It's allocated. It's not distributed. The money's there. We don't get it till we're caught up. And the caught up get happens when we do the financial statement for 2018.
Okay.
We can't do the financial statement until we get caught up on the audits. She said, well, you can do your finances. No, because I have no idea how much we're off on the audit stuff. Okay, so we'll just continue to do that.
As long as it's allocated, then we'll get it.
We get it once we get caught up. So what I had put here for projections was we should be caught up. We should get around 28,000 DLG money next year. Okay, 28 to 29. Right now, if we had gotten this, we would have had 29,000 some odd change. Our cash balance, what I did with that was I think I took out what we have for DLG. Yeah, it says, okay, that 328 or the amount that we have, the 344,157.62 includes the above DLG amount, mm-hmm. That 27,000.
Okay.
So what I did was I projected, because we're at 348 some odd dollars right now, 48,000 in the bank. I took the $20,000 off for the project you're having here.
Okay.
Start next week, because this is going to happen during this, or it's started in this fiscal year, yeah. So it all comes out this fiscal year. So my cash, I projected at being around 328,000.
Okay.
All right. We should get at a very conservative amount at $1,200, because we didn't have the road funds in until December into Independence Bank. We've collected so far since December that amount of interest that I've got listed there.
Almost 1,500.
Right. But I backed it off because we're backing down some money, plus we aren't getting the DLG funds for a few months. So I counted that as, okay, we've got to take a hit, a couple hundred dollars. So I backed it down to 1,200. That's how I came up with that number. So you understand my logic.
So what's the less expense of $150,000?
Well, that's in case we have a project. And one of the things that I would like for us to do, okay, and consider, Middlesex is a real problem. Okay, that's getting beat up. In Middlesex, we need to start looking at our repaving in sections versus doing it all at one time. Because there's a couple of values to that is the different prices of the oil. We can manipulate the oil market because the petroleum products is what generates the cost of that asphalt. So by having different projects for different parts of the city, and also maintaining what we currently have, like Steve says, we have good streets. So it would be good that we start maintaining them so we get a little bit longer cycle on them.
Okay.
So, and when I took the one class on asphalting, they say you have one group for new, one group for maintenance, and one group you're okay with, okay? And just basically start looking at your streets in that kind of manner on what kind of expense you have done. This is all a learning process, by the way, so...
Okay, we'll sit down at our,
On the new side of Pulaski and John L., what are the street markings on the street for?
We're going to fix them. In the little lines?
Yeah.
On the street, that's where they're going to fix some problems with the street.
Okay, but that's what carrying up.
Okay, yeah. All right. Is everybody fine with what we've done tonight?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I hear a motion to accept the budget as we have it presented tonight.
In the form of a budget ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do I got to do now?
Just what if you approve this budget, and then you would approve that it be incorporated into the budget ordinance, and then I can prepare the budget ordinance,
okay,
and sign, and we have it published. But it has to be an ordinance. Just approving the budget doesn't.
Okay. Well, we've already we already had the original three, so let's. What's the ordinance number? It's number four.
The ordinance number
four.
Four.
Okay, this is
yes, number four.
Ordinance number 4, 2019.
Right.
Yes. Series ordinance number 4, series 2019.
You want to read that now?
Be it ordained by the city of Woodlands and Hills that the budget that just was approved be incorporated into the budget ordinance to be signed upon preparation by Steve and published pursuant to law.
Motion made.
I'm almost afraid to close this out.
To get all the numbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
On here?
All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the ordinance? I'm sorry. Thank you, Commissioner Deville. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. Have a roll call vote. And Carol, it's your turn to start.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Second the motion.
Yes.
Yes. All right. It passes.
Good job, y'all.
Man, that's the best one we've had in 4 years. All right. Next on, I guess, commissioner's reports. Who would like to be first? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
All right. Commissioner Berger, please.
Okay. On May 23rd, okay, per city attorney, I had the clerk to generate a letter to a resident regarding the city easement. On May 27th, we requested the city clerk to send a letter to the owners at 4522 Dickerson Court regarding fence repair. On May 31st, received an email from a resident regarding property with cars parked in the yard and trash everywhere. Advised I would contact code enforcement. And then also per Commissioner Metcalf, he advised that this had been done numerous times, and until we get set rental ordinance, there's not much we can do. That's what everybody was here tonight for.
I figured that.
Yeah. On June 8th, contacted the city arborist office and was advised due to limited staffing, not able to send out an arborist. But they did provide a website that we could go to. I've got the website listed. It's about all the trees that we want to replace out in the open space. And on between 6:12 and 6:14, per Maximus Lawn Care, Tree Care came out and removed the rest of the stumps and advised they should be finished very soon. On 6:15, per Maximus Lawn Care, Weed Man came out and performed the second treatment on all the islands. That's all I got.
Thank you, Commissioner Berger. Commissioner Metcalf.
Drove streets on multiple occasions. I was called by a resident at 1210 Lorraine Court about a truck parked partially on the grass in front of his house. He stated he did not know who the truck belonged to. I checked the location and found a late model Dodge pickup parked at that location. Truck had Carter County plates. I called Metro Police non-emergency number and reported it to them. Police responded. They found the owner and the truck was moved. Issued parking permits to three individuals. Attended with Mayor Stoneham, the unemployment insurance hearing on Betty Coleman and Roy Coleman. And the Derby City Activity Report from 522 to 529. Three parking violations, three traffic stops and one pedestrian stop. That's all.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Commissioner Bedell?
I did light checks on 5-1, 5-7, 5-14, 5-21, and 5-29. I did the mail run with the clerk on 5-14. I contacted Proficity and had an updated version of the Runkey guidelines put on the webpage on 5-13. It now just lists the garbage. It lists garbage, recycling, and yard waste. I answered emails regarding the Runkey yard waste pickup. One resident on Bay Run Court said he felt like Runkey patched the street up because some yards had been moved out and some hadn't. And I spoke with Chris at Runkey, and he said he would make certain that the drivers serviced all streets and just didn't glance down them to see if there was yard waste sitting out.
That's happened on Lindenburg.
Chris Pierce, from Runkey, he did have a route supervisor run a report, and it showed that the truck had been down the street that morning at 10:15. So, anyway, another resident was upset because Runkey did not take her yard waste, and she sent me photos. I looked at her photos. She had a garbage cart which had loose leaves in it. And she had made herself a little sign and put it on her garbage cart that said yard waste. So I explained to her that your leaves need to be in a bag, in a recyclable bag, that they can't just be in your garbage cart with a note tacked on it that says yard waste. They're not going to pick it up. It's like that. So she said she understood that. She was okay with it. Well, she wasn't okay with it, but she said she understood it. I sent postcards to three residents on Lindenburg who had limbs in their yard waiting for Runkey to pick them up, but they weren't bundled. And I just explained on the postcard, you have to have them tied up and, you know, so that's that. And I contacted a resident about a washer and dryer at the end of her driveway. And after a real good cussing, she gave me, she said that she had made arrangements with Runkey to have them picked up. And I apologized and said, I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. So that's my report.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Commissioner Campbell?
Okay. On May 28th and today, I made mail runs with Bev Lush. And on June 6th, Safety Cole installed signs, straightened a leaning stop sign post. However, the street signs, Rutherford Place and Pulaski Court, were not installed. Talked with Andrew Freebert and learned that the installers were unable to remove the old signs due to corrosion. They will have to be replaced jointly with the corresponding street signs, Pulaski Court and Lunenburg Drive and Rutherford Place and Halifax Drive. Those two additional signs have been ordered. Have also asked that the no parking on street anytime sign be moved from the sign pole at Northumberland Drive in Chesterfield to across the street and attach it to the speed bump ahead signpost in front of 3902 Northumberland Drive. And Andrew assured me this would be done. Then on 6-7, I talked with Steve Triplett from All Terrain Paving, and he has really had a time trying to get everything in because of the weather. I mean, we had already talked about that and explained again that the repair work on the streets must start before the end of our fiscal year, which is June 30th. It can be concluded during the following 2 months. So he called me back on 6-14. And he has scheduled our work. Asphalt repair work will take place this Friday on 6-21, which is the potholes. And then the pavement repair work will take place from July 1st to July 3rd.
Good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Don't worry. So,
probably
just going to rain on Friday.
All right.
So, it'll rain on Friday.
All right, so we're at the end of the meeting. Anything from the citizens that would like to say something? Yes, sir.
To end on a positive note, based on the conversation we had at the last meeting about the easement, about what was professional, what wasn't professional, what was sent out, written professionally or not, I at least want to give our attorney a shout out, because the letter that was sent out was extremely professional and compassionate.
Okay.
All right, it was very professional. It was decided at the city meeting on Tuesday, May 21st, yada, yada, yada. Goes on, once this survey is completed, you will be notified as to the result and be given 90 days to comply. Be watching for our correspondence after the survey is completed. After I got this, I said to my wife, now, that's a fairly nice letter from the church.
I want to apologize to you.
No, you don't have to. That was good.
I think we're bad with you, you know?
I have a suggestion.
No, that was what?
Bob, does Steve have stationery that's got City of Arlington Hills on it?
Well, we decided that last time.
Yeah.
We're going to use letter of city letterhead.
Yeah, right, that motion was already made.
That was already decided.
You know, there's too many letters from attorneys that sort of make you smile, if you know what I mean. This one sort of made me smile.
Okay, good. All right, anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Mason came out and checked the fence, and he called the code enforcement. We want to thank him for that.
All right.
I emailed the manager directly, so it hopefully might have a little more weight than when you all called. So hopefully,
we should do something about animal control. What do they got to do actually see the dogs breeding to know that the dogs are actually breeding there?
They do that in the front yard when they need to.
We call them all the time, and it's hard for us to get them to come out like on the scene. It's crazy.
Okay. Well, you all have a nice evening, and thank you very much for coming. I have to have a motion to adjourn. Do I have a motion
to adjourn?
Thank you. Did you get that? Did you get the time?
I did.
All right.
Yeah.